Hey, New Life fam, I want to welcome you wherever you're watching from. It has been a crazy week in our world and our nation today. I want to thank you for your flexibility. I want to thank you for all of your prayers. And please know that this week as a staff, we are praying for this church. We are praying for our city, for our community, all of our government leaders. We're going to get through this. Actually, we are not going to let this moment rob us of our momentum. So I want to encourage you to stay engaged, stay in your small group, stay connected with one another. So we are going to kind of change the way we are doing things on Sunday morning. I'm glad that you're joining us in this way. Wherever you're from, I want to welcome you. And so there's a couple things you can do to stay up to date on the things that are happening here at New Life Church. You can always stay connected with our social media. We'll update that with how things are going to continue to transpire. But as of right now, our Sunday services will be canceled. We will not be having any public gatherings in the building through the end of March, and then be listening at the end of March for our next update on what we're going to be doing in the midst of this coronavirus stuff. But please, if you need anything, I want you to continue to reach out to us. We're going to be reaching out to you. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you're with your family. Hopefully you maybe got another family with you and you're engaging. Wherever you are, whatever day it is, in this way, we welcome you here today. All right, well, there's a couple things I want to let you know before we get started in our message today. First, I hope you got your Bible ready and you're ready to engage with me. But first, I want to remind you about our one-day offering, our Easter one-day offering, one day to feed the world. We're partnering our Easter offering this year with Convoy of Hope. Convoy is helping feed children all around the world. Convoy is helping with women's empowerment programs. And so here's the challenge, church. The challenge is on Easter Sunday, we're going to give Jesus the best gift we can. The Bible says that when you give to the least of these, it's as though you're giving it right to Jesus. And so we want to give Jesus the best gift we can. And the challenge is that we're going to come Easter Sunday, and we're going to bring one day's wages to give to this offering, and 100% of those dollars are going to go to Convoy of Hope, and they're going to help feed kids all around the world. And so that's our challenge. And I want to remind you that you can jump online. You can go to newlifeforkokomo.org. There's many ways you can give here at New Life Church. You can give on-site. You can give online. You can mail it. And you can set up reoccurring giving on our website. You can also text to give. All that information is on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org/give. So engage with that. All right, hey, you got your Bibles out, and we are going to be in the book of John chapter 20. And here, I want to jump right into the message today. And here, we are going to, my message today is, you can't keep God out. You can't keep God out. Here in John chapter 20, the disciples have quarantined themselves in a room. This is after Jesus had been crucified. He had been resurrected, but they didn't quite know that yet. He had only appeared to Mary, and she had come to them and said, "Hey, I saw Jesus. The tomb is empty. He spoke to me." They couldn't believe it. But let's look at our scripture in John 20, verse 19. It says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were all together," hopefully you're together with some people right now, "when the disciples were all together, and with the doors locked for fear," it was out of fear the disciples quarantined themselves to a room and locked the doors. Why? Well, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid that what had just happened to Jesus might happen to them too. So it was out of fear they quarantined themselves, locked themselves in the room. And then, with the doors locked, watch this, Jesus came and stood among them. And then he said, "Peace be with you." Here, listen, here's the deal. For fear, you can lock the door, you can build walls, you can build a fortified city around your heart, but you have a God who is perfectly capable of walking right through your walls. And with the doors locked for fear, Jesus came, stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." So here's the thing. Fear is faith in the enemy's camp. Fear is faith in the enemy's camp. But faith is confidence in Christ. And right now, there might be some of you who are full of fear. You're full of uncertainty. We're watching the stock markets change. We're watching restaurants close. We're not having church service. There's a lot of uncertainty. And uncertainty can open the door for fear. But I would tell you, fear is faith in the wrong kingdom. It's in the enemy's camp. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, whoever you're watching this with, that you can have a confidence in Christ. Fear is faith in the enemy's camp. Fear would say, I know I'm going to be the one who gets sick. Fear is to say, I know I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get rejected. I know I'm not good enough. I know I'm not accepted. I'm not appreciated for what I do. That is fear. That is faith in the wrong kingdom. But a confidence in Christ says this. It says, I am healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I may be down right now, but I'm going to get better. I'm going to get stronger. God is with me. He is for me. He's not against me. This is a faith with a confidence in Christ. So I want to challenge you to evaluate where your faith is lying. Is your faith right now in the kingdom of God, or is it in the enemies? Fear and faith. But here's the next thing. Look at this. Fear tries to control, but faith is always to surrender. Fear is to control. A lot of times when we experience hurt in our lives, hurt sometimes is the thing that drives us to live behind closed doors. Hurt drives us to fear and lock those doors up. You see, when we have been hurt, we choose to try to control our life situations because we never want to be hurt like that again. We don't want to be hurt like that again, so we take control. And by control, brick by brick, we build walls. We lock doors, and brick by brick, you can build a wall around your heart that says, I will not get hurt like this again. And brick by brick, you can build that wall, and you think it's protection. But in reality, you just built a prison. It's not protection. It's a prison to live behind closed doors, to live behind a wall because out of fear of being hurt again. But aren't you glad that we have a God that can't contain himself, but he pursues you, and he is willing to walk through your walls. And in so, you can have a faith of surrender. I would tell you that there is no greater freedom than the freedom of surrender to God. And I know that sometimes surrender can be very scary, because to surrender to something, even to surrender to God, even to surrender this current chaos and this current crisis to the Lord, it requires a level of trust. And for some people, the last time they trusted somebody, they walked out on them. The last time they trusted, they got hurt. The last time they trusted, they were rejected. The last time they trusted, they experienced great failure. And so sometimes to live a life of surrender is quite scary, because we know it takes a level of trust. And to trust means you make yourself vulnerable to be hurt all over again. Surrender. But we have a God who is trustworthy. He's a trustworthy God. You place your trust in him, and it is a sure thing. He is an investment that you can put all of your trust in and watch your faith grow. Let's look at John 20, verse 20 now. It says, after he said this, he showed up to them, his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus walks through these locked doors. He shows up, and look, the disciples, they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I remember the first time I caught a glimpse in the presence of God, the joy that came. And listen, in all of the chaos of our world today, you can see the Lord, and it'll give you great joy. Let's look at the next verse. And Jesus said again he says, "Peace be with you." When he walks through the walls that you've built up out of fear, out of control, what he comes to do is he comes to bring you peace. He comes to bring you a peace. This word peace translates back to a Hebrew word called shalom. The word shalom is a word better described as wholeness, to be made whole again. Specifically, to be made whole in your body, your soul, and your spirit. It is to be made complete again. So you can build walls, you can quarantine yourself from hurt, you can try to quarantine yourself because you've been rejected before, but God, he will walk right through your walls and make you whole again. He can give you that kind of peace. And then John 20, 21, it says, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Then he goes on, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So not only does he walk through our walls to bring us peace, he walked through our walls to give us purpose. He gives us purpose. He gives us peace, and he gives us great purpose. And here's what Jesus is saying. He needs you in the game. He needs you in the game. He needs you here and now. He's got more for you. So let's get you healed up. Let's get you free. Let's get you delivered. Let's build your confidence up again because you are needed. There is a mission of God that he is calling you to today. He's got purpose for you. You can't see purpose from behind your walls. That's why he's willing to come straight through those walls and to give you purpose again. I would say this, that if what you're living for is not worth dying for, then it's really not worth living for. There's many things in our world today that people are living for. Maybe people live to build their career. People live to achieve. People live to be known. People live to have followers. People live to acquire wealth. But none of that you can ever take with you. None of that really means anything when you're lying on your deathbed one day. None of that matters anymore. So if what you're living for isn't worth dying for, then it's not really worth living for. And when you encounter the love of God, when you encounter the peace that he brings, God, he also comes through your walls to give you purpose. He needs you in the game. There is a mission of God that we are all called to. And then Jesus says this, and with that he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So not only does he come to bring you peace, not only does he give you purpose, but watch this. He makes you powerful. Because it was for fear and sometimes the feelings of insignificance and hurt that you built that wall in the first place. But he says, no. Let's make you whole. Let's give you peace. Let's give you purpose, something to live for. But Jesus will also give you the power to do it. Because here's the thing, friend. I know I can't do it on my own. I have to have the Holy Spirit. I have to have the power of God in me to make it happen. It's almost as like Jesus is saying, I know you were hurt, you were afraid, you're behind closed doors, but this time, This time, when you come out from these walls, when you come out from those doors, this time you're coming out different. You're coming out powerful. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Next we see in John chapter 20:24, he says, now Thomas is one of the 12 disciples. He was not with the disciples at this moment when Jesus, with the doors locked, appeared before them. Thomas was missing. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. And so when the other disciples told Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, No. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my finger in his side, I see where the nails were, I will not believe. You know, if you have spent any amount of time in church, maybe you had that flannel graph in your Sunday school class as a child. We know Thomas as one thing. We all call him what? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. He says, unless I see him, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and where I saw that spear pierce his side where both water and blood came forth, unless I see that, I will not believe. We call him Doubting Thomas. But the Bible never calls him Doubting Thomas. That is not his name. That is not his name. And too many times we can label people by their dysfunction. We can label people failures. And we can label ourselves insignificant. We can label ourselves as setback. We see this throughout the series. We see the man with the withered hand, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who had 5 husbands. We label people by their dysfunction, but that doesn't have to be you. Doubting Thomas was not his name. It was not his name. Actually, if we look back just a few chapters in the book of John, in John chapter 11, the disciples here are talking. Lazarus is dead, and the disciples say to Jesus, but Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going to go back there? Jesus was about to return back to where Lazarus had been placed. And his disciples are begging him, don't go. The last time you went, they tried to kill you. Don't go. And then it says this, Jesus told them plainly, hey, listen, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. And then Jesus says, but let us go to him. So even though Jesus might face death, he still says, let's go to Lazarus. And you know the story. They raised Lazarus out of that tomb. Right through those walls, they brought Lazarus out. But watch what Thomas said. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, look at this. Let us also go, that we may die with him. In other words, what Thomas is saying, he's saying, Jesus, if you're going to go, I'm going to go. If you're going to die, I'm going to die. I didn't know what living was until I met you. There's no way, Jesus, you're going to go without me. If you're going out, I'm going out. My life meant nothing before you, so I will give it all for you. What I was living for wasn't worth dying for, but you're a man that I find worth dying for. If you're going to die, I'm going to die. We will all go with him. I'm having a very difficult time finding the doubt in that statement. I'm having a difficult time labeling Thomas as a man who was doubting Jesus. Here's what I think. Doubting Thomas? No. Hurting Thomas. Hurting Thomas. Thomas was willing to go and die with Jesus. But imagine what Thomas went through. Thomas wouldn't let Jesus out of his sight, I'm sure of it. And he watched Jesus carry that cross. He watched him get flogged and he watched him get beaten. He watched as the nails went through Jesus' hands. He watched as he was raised up on that cross, and he watched as the spear was pierced through his side. And surely Thomas was sitting there hoping any moment now he's going to come up off that cross. I've seen him raise the dead. I've seen him heal the sick. I know what he's did in me, and I want him in my life. There's no way he's leaving me. There's no way he's going to leave me here. I'm willing to die with him. I'm willing to go with him. I don't want to be apart from him. And then he heard the words of Jesus, "It is finished." No, he's gone. He's left me. I think Thomas was hurting. I think Thomas lost his best friend. I think Thomas lost sight of his purpose, of what he lived for. And so when the disciples say, "Thomas, Jesus was just here. He just showed up right here in this room." He says, No. Don't do this to me. Don't toy with my emotions. I watched him die. Don't do this. I'm hurting right now. Don't do this to me. I will believe if I put my finger in the holes in his hands that I watched him get pierced. I'll believe if I can stick my hand in his side when I watched him breathe his last breath. Don't do this to me. So let's look at John 20. Let's go back to our story of them in the room. So then a week later, the disciples, they were in the house again. They've quarantined themselves again. And Thomas, this time, he was with them. He wasn't going to miss this moment. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And what did he say? "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me and you've believed, blessed are those who have not seen me and still believe." Doubting Thomas. That's not his name. So not only does Jesus come to bring you peace, not only does Jesus walk through your walls to give you purpose, not only does Jesus make you powerful, but Jesus is willing to walk through the fortified city of your heart to heal your pain. To heal your pain. Now, I don't know what kind of pain you're suffering, what kind of loss maybe you have had lately, what kind of chaos you've been experiencing this week with your kids, with your work, in our city. I don't know, but here's what I know. We have a God who is perfectly capable of walking through your quarantined walls and bring you peace and give you purpose and make you powerful and heal your pain and to heal your pain. I want to pray for you today, wherever you're at, whether you're in your living room, you're in your bedroom, maybe you're listening to this in your automobile or on your lunch break at work. I want to pray with you. And if you would, just in the quietness of your heart, in the quietness of your home, wherever you are, would you just take this moment right now with God? I want you to begin to explore right now. Evaluate your heart, evaluate your life. What's been going on right now? What walls are you hiding behind? What walls have you built up? Jesus is perfectly capable of walking through your walls. The love he has for you, he can't contain himself. He has to come for you. He wants to get to you, and he's willing to walk through your walls to give you peace. Has your life been turned upside down this week? Do you feel like there's just chaos all around? And he comes to not just make you whole again, but then give you a reason to live. He wants to give you purpose. And maybe you lie your head down at night on your pillow and you just wonder, "What am I here for?" But he will walk through those walls of doubt and skepticism and give you purpose. And when this is all said and done, when you come out from behind those doors, you come out from behind those walls, you will come out different. You'll come out powerful. He's breathing on you right now the power of his Holy Spirit. And in so, he's going to heal your pain. In other words, all the junk from the past, you don't have to be controlled by the past and by those pains. He's going to free you and heal you from those pains. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, you're the best dad I have ever had. And God, I pray right now in our city, in our county, in this state, that you would begin to bring greater levels of peace to people. Your word says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Peace is the weapon you use to cancel the chaos. Would you cancel the chaos right now in our lives? Even in the midst of everything that's going on, we don't have to live in chaos. We can have peace. I pray that you restore purpose in us. I pray that you give us power. And I pray that right now you heal the pain of our past. I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, I love you. I pray you have a great week. I can't wait to see you, New Life Church. I pray that you stay healthy, you stay well, stay in contact with us. We'll update you very soon. We miss you, Jenny and I. We send our love. God bless. See ya.
Hey, everybody. It's Pastor Dean. Hey, we trust that you had a great time in the online experience you just watched. I know I did. If you made a decision today that impacts your life for Jesus, we want to know about that. We are excited about that, and we want to know all about that. And so in order to let us know about that, all you've got to do is text the word CONNECT to 765-347-9127. You can connect with us via that form. And also, if you have a prayer request and need to connect with us in any way, you can do so on that form. Also, another reminder we wanted to pass along to you is don't forget, you can also text in your tithe and offering to the word New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Hey, listen, we love you, we miss you, we value you. Stay up to date with all the changes going on with New Life Church on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. We love you, and until we see you again, thanks.